this morning for salvation. Cold weather makes for a cozy environment sometimes, doesn't it? So thank the Lord for the unity of the Spirit of God, and thank the Lord that He in His mercy wants us, or His wisdom and His love, wants us to dwell together in unity. And at that place of unity in Christ and His Spirit, He said He had commanded a blessing right there. So if we want to be blessed, let's be one with God. Let's endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit to be one with another. Because God's already, back in the time of David, I believe, has already commanded that in that area, right there, in that spot, there would be a blessing. And we thank the Lord for that blessing this morning. That we can meet in unity. We can meet in the Word, the name, the Spirit of God. We come for that purpose, not to be entertained, not to lift up flesh, not to put anyone or anything on exhibit, but to lift up and worship the name of the Lord. That's what this is all about, encouraging one another, being a source of edification one for another. So may we do that. Endeavor, Paul said. So may we endeavor for that. Last week, we started a message that I said at that time I'd not be able to finish it last Sunday, maybe not even in two Sundays. I'm going to forestall that. Seemed like the weather kind of hindered that a little bit. Some that would normally be here are not here that heard the first part of that message. And around Friday sometime, the Lord started making a scripture real evident to me. And He gave me some thoughts on it. And I'd like for us to pursue that a little bit this morning. Speaking of the kingdom, and a few things we said last Sunday, though, Satan would enjoy you and me not being able to see the kingdom of God. He would like for that to be something that's elusive. And he's put a lot of mystery, Satan has, concerning that. And he's shrouded that with his slant and false doctrines. As if to say, if they don't see the kingdom, they're going to be misdirected, at least somewhat. And the purpose that God has for this thing called Christianity and His church will be somewhat foiled. And I believe today Satan is still trying to foil the purpose of God and the purpose of Christ. And hence our purpose in life and our purpose in living. The Lord is looking for and desires a victorious people. Not a people that are sinful or sold under sin, but a people who recognize His kingship, and not only in obedience, but also His kingship in His authority to govern. And not only in His authority to govern, but His authority to instill with power from on high. And not only the power to from on high, but also the power to cause you and me to fulfill His commission, His purpose, right here in this present generation that we live in. That you and me might be trees of righteousness. That you and me might be the planting of the Lord. That you and me might inherit the kingdom in a way that others would say there's something more than sin you must, or sin you can't help it, or a weak, underprivileged experience with God. So with that said, the little thought came to me. My message this morning is on the Christian purpose. And that's multifaceted, and we're just going to touch on some of it, of course. But if we do not see the kingship of God in Christ now, ruling today, in authority today, established today, then we are going to, Satan is going to move the purpose around and cause you and me to have misguided purposes. So if the kingdom is out of sight, to some degree, it's out of mind. Over in Titus, the second chapter, and another scripture is coming to my mind is the fifth chapter of Ephesians, where he talks about the bride and the beauty, the holiness, and without spot. And Christ gave Himself, he said in Ephesians, that He might bring to Himself and present to Himself such a beautiful bride, and chaste and holy. In Titus 2 and 12, this is the grace of God that brings salvation. It hath appeared to all men, in this 11th verse I'm reading, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That sounds to me like someone or a group who has authority over the kings of this world, the god of this world, the element of unrighteousness that plagues all of mankind and plagues men today and attacks you and me. But He's teaching us that God's grace came teaching us that we're right here today, we're to live as if we belong in a kingdom or as if we are in a kingdom. And the purposes are not my purpose, but the purpose of the kingdom. My reasons are not anymore my reasons or selfish interests, but it's the interest and the purpose and the reasons of the kingdom. If we, as and young people, please, the earlier you receive this, the better off you'll be, the stronger you'll be, and that much further ahead you'll be. And don't wait like some of us till you get in your 30s, get saved, and play catch up. But begin now, in your youth, to understand God has a purpose. And may I say, that purpose is beautiful. That purpose is lovely. That purpose is holy. That purpose is not a purpose filled with looking back over my life with regrets and what ifs and why didn't I do this and woes are me. But it is a life saying right was the pathway. I am glad I did it. I think all of us today that are saved would probably say, I wish I'd done it a little sooner. God's got to say, why? Because after salvation, things get pretty then. Things become beautiful. And sin is taken care of. So today, have a nice group of young people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth, before those old days of sore backs and gray hairs. Did I pay that bill or did I not pay that bill come upon us, you know? I haven't got quite to all of that yet, but I do have a sore back sometimes and gray hair. But our memories will begin to slide away from us also. So the purpose is understanding God has a kingdom, and you and I want to find out the purpose. Why did He come to do that? I didn't finish this scripture, did I? And He said that in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's a hope set before us that He will return, not to establish the kingdom, but to take His kingdom home, to take His kingdom to the eternal heaven. Who gave Himself for us, purposes now, who gave Himself for us, that He might purchase, redeem, acquire us from all iniquity, take us out of. Brother Philip talked to us about the pearl of great price and the treasure hid in the field. And the ones who found those treasures, they absolutely went and sold everything they had. Satan does not want you and me to sell all that we have. You know how much he'd like to get one little corner of self remaining in us. That's enough. Now, that's not all He wants, but that's enough. Did you know, have you ever tried to buy something from someone and you make up your mind, I'm not going to do it, and you start walking out and hear him or her say, just a minute, and you turn around? That's a dangerous turnaround, folks. People have bought things that they'd already said no to. Insurance, cars, houses, mixed masters. They don't call them mixed masters anymore, do they? Whatever you make a cake with, mixers. Tell my age here if I'm not careful. Then a lot of people bought some things because there was a little appetite there. They could still remember that, ooh, that was the best smelling leather interior. What did you say you wanted? People do that. We're human, see. They sold absolutely everything they had to obtain the prize. To get the diamond, if you will, or to get the treasure, or to get the pearl of great price. Satan would like for you and me to reserve a little for ourselves of the price. There was two people in the Bible. I know this is an exaggerated example, but God meant it to be exaggerated. Ananias and Sapphira. It was theirs. They could have done anything. They could have divvied it up any way they wanted to. But they vowed to the apostles, we've sold it all. But they reserved some things for themselves. And the extreme case was that they took that man and then later his wife, or is it vice versa, took them out, dead people. We must realize God came to bring us the kingdom, came to bring us a purpose in life. And as you and me reserve a little bit of ourselves for our purpose, to that degree, we're foiling the purpose of God. Now, I'm not going to sit here and split hairs with us, stand here and split hairs with us. Someplace it can become and will become sin, though. Someplace it'll go beyond, and then we'll be back in the kingdom of darkness. And then the Bible teaches us how great. If that light that's in us, if we allow it to become obscured and polluted, if we let that light become questionable, and young people today, listen to me. Christianity's always been challenged. It's always been questioned. There's always been the charlatans, but they are magnified today. We are fighting evil things in extremely high places. Evil has taken over Washington, D.C. The agenda of sin is running America now. Now, I'm not an alarmist and I'm not a defeatist, but we must realize we are in a very inhospitable atmosphere. If we ever, ever, ever want out of this, we've got to be like those people and sell all we have. There's a purpose in all of this. God has a purpose that He might redeem us from all sin and begin, or the Bible said, to purify unto Himself. This is part of the purpose, that we are to be purified for Him. Not for us, but for Him. We're to love God, as it's brought out in the Sunday school. First, foremost. Second is our neighbor. Somewhere in there, last, is ourselves. J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. May we understand today, the Lord came to purify unto Himself a peculiar, set apart, people with a purpose. That's exactly what this word peculiar means. Called out. Hello, come here, and I'll make you fishers of men. They drop their nets, their livelihood, their treasure, their comfort. He said, okay, we're going with you. The Lord has a purpose, and He wants a purposeful people. He wants people that see the purpose. We're so caught up, people are today, in our own purpose. And we let people of the world tell us, this is the purpose. You can't be told what to do. Your lifestyle is your business. That's your purpose. And how often they cry out for help, but never seek of the Lord for help. And they get this purpose, and it winds up contradicting itself. And they never turn. Their light has become so dark. And Jesus said, how great, how terrible and dangerous, hopeless is that darkness. It's a terrible place. But God wants a purposeful church. A church with a purpose. And God may God challenge us today. Let Him challenge you. If I, the pastor in Guthrie here, if I am falling the purpose in any way, I want to know that. God help us to humble ourselves. If we have something about ourselves that's falling the purpose, Christ came to redeem us, to purify unto himself a purposeful people. People called with a purpose, with an object, with an objectivity, objective rather, set before. People that are zealous of doing the good thing, the right thing. It's right to forgive. It's right to be modest. It's right to be holy. It's right to keep our minds clear. It's right to pay our bills. It's right to be a good husband, a faithful wife. It's good to accept the Word of God for correction. It's good, see? It's good to tell others about Jesus. It's good to show forth the power of living in the kingdom. There's one place I believe Satan really likes to work in people's lives. It's causing you and me, even the saints, to lose that spiritual edge of zealousness. I'm not talking about foolishness, and I am not talking about people going off on a spiritual lark here and there. But I'm talking about men and women not losing that spiritual zeal, that edge of a purpose in their life, a reality to salvation, a cause and effect, and a something to tell. The Lord does not want us to put our hand to the spiritual plow and then back up. I would say to every one of us and young people, get a purpose. And that purpose is God and His kingdom. Now, focus on, Lord, what would you have me do at that point? It's not good to have four or five little old fires going and not able to tend to any of them. Get the fire of the Lord in your heart and tend to it. And He may call you one place today. You stay there till God says, that's enough. Go over here. But what can happen to us if we're not careful? Our zealousness can be caught up in some kind of fleshly and I don't mean that in an ugly, cruel way, but in a way that is not really the purpose of the Lord. It's a lark. It's a spiritual venture. And, okay, that's a whiff, what's next? No, we look to the Lord. And Lord, this is my course, to preach to the Gentiles. Paul said, I've been faithful to that. He could have went around and said, no one's listening. I went to Macedonia and boy, they treated me like dirt over there. They wanted to kill me. I hear Peter's doing pretty good down there in Judah. Well, I hear that so-and-so, and I hear I'm going to go over there for a while. Lord, help us. This is a very real subject this morning, purposeful in our life. And if we're zealous for that purpose, we're not going to be persuaded out of it easily. It's going to take God if we're truly dedicated to it. I want to think about the word purpose. I mentioned it quite a few times. This is Webster, I believe, his own definition himself. If you have Esword on your computer, the dictionary that you can download is Webster's, one of his older dictionaries. And you know how the dictionaries will give how to use a word in a sentence? Well, he uses scriptures to bring out how to use the word. And this comes out of Webster's, I guess one of his original dictionaries, purpose. That which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished. I would ask us today, myself certainly included, what's your purpose? What do you really want? What have you given? I was thinking that Brother Philip was teaching the lesson today. I believe every one of us at this present moment have given ourselves to some purpose. Now, I believe because we're humans and we've not set our set eyes on things above, that purpose can maybe change in 10 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour. But we all, where we are now, there's some type of purpose that we've set our minds to. It is the end or aim to which the view is directed. Where are you looking today? Whereabouts are we casting our spiritual eyes and our literal eyes, our mind and our thoughts? It's the end or the aim to which the view is directed in any plan, measure, or exertion. This word purpose means intentions or design. We believe in a heavenly creator, don't we? I wonder sometimes if we say, yes, I believe in a creator and a designer of the universe, but not of my life, not of my thinking, not of my direction, not of what I'm going to do. And we excuse it because, well, the Lord didn't have that in mind. Yes, God had that in mind. He called you out of sin for a purpose, to be a purposeful church, part of that purposeful church. So God has a design, young people. You're under tutors right now, and you have parents, and you are to obey them and respect them and honor them. Amen. But you have a purpose in your life, that one day you'll walk out of that door for the last time of your parents' home. Oh, you'll come back to eat turkeys and hams at Christmas and Easter. But you'll walk out, and the mantle of responsibility will be on you. And you'll be the bill payer, the breadwinner, the mother, the cook, the seamstress. You'll be the one to tutor little toddlers and change diapers. God has a design for you not only now, but when you reach that time too. Because, you see, we got gray hair, and we're fading off the scene. And the belt of life is, conveyor belt of life is slowly, sometimes fast, rolling on. God has a purpose for you beyond your teenage years. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. Be happy in it. Tell your little stories and giggle. But remember, there's something on up there. There's something on up there. God has a design for you. Prepare for that. Be ready for that. Zealous of good works. And Paul told Titus, he said, speak about these things. Talk about these things. Exhort, if necessary, rebuke concerning these things. I want to go now concerning, if we can, the Lord will help us retain what we've just spoken of. And I want to go to the 26th chapter of Acts. And this is where the Lord just kind of challenged my poor old soul, my experience. May it be a blessing to us as we consider what's been said. You know the story of Paul, and the story of Paul's conversion was not just told once. It was told at least three times, even in in the book of Acts. Paul realized the necessity as he went from place to place to tell of his conversion, to tell what happened to him. I'm sure in part to help explain his zeal, to explain his message. And God did something most remarkable for Paul, and he did something most remarkable for you and for me. Every one of us have had or will have our road to Damascus. To me, part of what the road to Damascus implies is I'm doing what I think is right, and I'm doing my own way. I'm zealous, but not for the right purpose. Every one of us, I believe this, comes to a place when we have to, realize I'm wrong. And that can be the most wonderful time of your life. To be told you're wrong, stop what you're doing, turn around, change, get rid of that purpose and get a new purpose. Amen. That can be the most wonderful time of your life if you'll let God's purpose come in and have authority over your purpose. It became the most wonderful time in Paul's life. Maybe his translation after he was boiled in oil or beheaded or whatever, I don't know how Paul died. Maybe that was to him the most glorious, but what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? Did you know there's some of us right here today still going to Damascus with the wrong purpose? We may be saved, but God wants us to get a heavenly vision. And that's what Paul got. And it changed him. And I'm saying that to us today. My challenge is, has it changed me? Has it changed you? Are we letting it change us? Are we following the dynamics now of the purpose of God? And it's not for me to dictate how you become purposeful and fulfill it, but it is for us, each one, to say, Lord, I want your purpose fulfilled. And God has the wonderful ability to work singularly in our life and work collectively with us. He can cause the church of God to be unified in its purpose with all the diversity of talents, all the diversities of the gifts, all the diversities of my temperament and your temperament, all the diversities of age and youth and old age, the wisdom, the sage advice. God has the great ability to temper the body as each member submits that the purpose be fulfilled in their life. Then we don't cast our eyes to the right or to the left and look on others and say, well, what about him and what about her? But Lord, what about me? What do you want me to do? And then, the purpose of Christ is better equipped, if I may say it that way. If you have a automobile, what is something? Let's just say a piece of machinery. Some of Brother Willie's printing equipment. It's designed with way more parts than I could ever figure out. Okay? Hats off to Brother Willie. It's way more than hats off and honor to God, because he knows all the parts. Now, that equipment, and you've seen it operate, maybe not there, but other presses and other folders. And you know, that equipment, one little part could maybe break down, and that thing would keep doing what it's supposed to do as far as putting out. But it would be slowed down a little bit. I know I was over there one day watching Brother Willie and them operate something. And I don't know what he was doing, and it really doesn't matter, but he had to do it to make it work right. He was standing there with a stick or something in here. Every time something would come out. You remember that time, Brother Willie? And probably that was not supposed to operate that way. Excuse me for talking about you, Brother Willie. Probably in the directions, it did not say, have Brother Willie Murphy stand at that location and do with that stick whatever he was doing. There was a certain amount of inefficiency there. When you and me are that part that's not working right, there's a certain degree of inefficiency in the body. That isn't taken away from the holiness of the body, but as a congregation, let's keep it right here. As a congregation, it's hurt our efficiency. It's hurt our purpose. When I do not take the purpose God called me for, and folks, it's not for us to say what yours is and mine is. It's for us to know what it is and to do that purpose. And I have found, have you ever seen a horse that you knew was thirsty? And so you lead him over to the water and say, water! And that horse looks at that water and looks at you and walks off gate grazing. The whole saying about that, you can lead him to water, but you can't make him drink. I have found it works so much better when God is the one doing the leading. When man leads, bless our hearts, there's a little bit of resistance. But if God's leading and we're seeking his purpose, the flow, remember we spoke last week about flowing into Zion, to that mountain of the Lord? It starts flowing in. I haven't got to where I'm going yet, but I'm going to there right now. Paul, on the way to Damascus, he went on to Damascus, didn't he? But he went with a different purpose. Listen to what happened to Paul. This is the 26th chapter, and the, we know the story. Maybe pick it up in the 14th verse. And when we were all fallen to the earth, this is after that great light, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What are you doing, Paul? Why are you doing this? I don't know all that went through Paul's mind. The Bible doesn't say. But that man was thinking. I don't know what he was thinking altogether, but he wasn't thinking about what he had for supper last night. He was thinking about what's going on here. What am I doing here? What is my purpose right here? Saul, why are you doing this to me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And indeed it is. Pricks are metal or steel, or wooden rods sharpened, and they marched a column of men, generally prisoners, down a pathway from point A to point B. Excuse me. And the guards, to keep them in line, had these, let's say, 6 foot or 10 foot long little poles of steel or wood sharpened with a great intensity. And the old prisoner started kind of slagging up. Pop! He'd get it. And he'd say, jump on. And maybe if he'd lash out and say, don't do that. Well, he'd get the point of that thing right in his forearm. He'd say, I can't kick back. It hurts. The prick, the gourd, is that the way you say it? Goad that pushes you on. It's hard. Life is hard, folks, when we go against the purpose of God. You don't think that's so? Look all around us. Homes, diseases, all manner of evil and filthy communications, the immodesty, the corruption that is in the world through lust. All this is because men have set their minds to kick against the Lord. I don't want His purpose. I want mine. No one can tell me what to do. Well, they may not, but it's going to hurt when you kick. And you're going to suffer when you kick. And it's not going to be easy on you. And you won't have peace. And you won't have comfort. And you won't have joy. And you won't have the realization that I, by the grace of God, am on my way to heaven. And if I die, my testimony could be, even so come Lord Jesus. You won't have that. But you will have your way, with all of its liabilities. So Paul, the Lord told Paul, said, Paul, what you're doing is a hard thing. Oh, God, help us as people to realize when I take my purpose, it's a hard road to hoe. Well, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Thank the Lord that Christ is willing to identify himself to us, that his purpose can be transmitted or given to us. Count it a privilege today, folks, that God wants to share his purpose with you. Think about it. Think about what he could have done without you. Why? He calls a mule or a donkey to talk. Huh? He could have called angels to come and speak to us. But the Lord told his disciples when he breathed on them, he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Give my another place. It's God's, my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And Romans, I believe, it speaks about us being joint heirs. And another place in Hebrews, he said he wasn't ashamed to call us brethren. What a privilege it is to have the purpose of God committed to us. That is a honorable thing. God honored us. Brother Philip talked to us. I appreciated this little allegory he brought out about the man who had the diamond. And that diamond was something that represented absolutely everything he had, because he had sold everything to buy it. That was his investment. And he juggled it and juggled it and juggled it on the ship. Got caught up in this old world. Listen, young people. The world will egg you on. Attaboy, attaboy. And when you fall off the cliff, they'll say, did it hurt? But there will be no strings to pull you back. There will be no cords of love to minister to your hurting soul. There will be not that camaraderie of God's Spirit to hold you and keep you and protect you. So I could, all of a sudden it went up the last time, and he said the ship lurched, moved, and maybe it hit him in the hands or something. And you ever had a, I got it. Whoop. The ball hits you in the hands, and all of a sudden you look down, and there it is. Had a little recoil or something to it. And it wound up in the ocean. Everything he had. Lord, help us. God has committed to us a most holy purpose. That is an honor above all honors. So here Paul was prostrate in some form. Maybe he was shielding his eyes. Maybe he was rubbing his eyes. I don't know. Here's the part that really challenged my soul. But rise and stand upon thy feet. God wants His church to rise up and stand on our feet and fulfill the purpose of the Almighty God. To fulfill His purpose in whatever form, shape, or manner He appears to us in. To do that, we've got to be willing to put Him first in all things. We've got to renounce sin. Satan, have you ever heard the little story or the little phrase, rather? Sometimes you see a child that you hadn't seen maybe in a few months or something, and they've grown 2 or 3 inches, and you'll say, wow, they've really grown. And yeah, and then their parents come along and say, yes, and I don't know what we're going to do with him. He's growing out of his blue jeans. I'm going to have to put a book on his head. Kind of weight him down, in other words, keep him from growing so fast. That's just a little figure of speech. It has no authority whatsoever. But I want to tell you about a devil that has a lot of authority. And he wants to put a book on our head. He wants to tie our feet down. He wants us to get us in a subservient way to sin, a subservient ways to doubt, a subservient way to insecurities, and I can't do this, and they tie us down with the weights of, well, it's somebody else is doing it. That's not my job, or I can't, or whatever. And we're foiling the purpose of God when we refuse to stand up on our feet. He said to us one place, quit ye like men. Become as a man. Act as a man. Take the responsibility of a man. Do that which is becoming a mature Christian. Do that. Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews said this in the 5th chapter of Hebrews. He said, there's a time when you ought to be teachers, but you're still in a place where you need that someone teach you. Paul was at a place of great humility. He had kicked his last kick. He was over and done with as far as Paul and his resistance to the Lord. And he said, what's going on here? What's hard? What would you have me to do? And the Lord spoke to him and he said, get up, Paul. Stand on your feet. I have appeared to thee for a purpose. Did you know the Lord didn't just come to you and me by chance? He came with a purpose. I have appeared to you on your road to Damascus. And I'm telling you right now, Paul, it's hard the way you're going. You're not fulfilled. You're not totally happy. And you're surely not going to heaven. Where are we today? Have we found our road to Damascus and it's full of bumps and lumps and kicks and one day I'm happy, the next day I'm not. I have not found real satisfaction. My feelings are staying on my shoulders all the time. I have this fear. I have this dread. I have this fleshly purpose that is never quite sated in my life. May the Lord help us. Jesus said, Paul, get up and listen to me. Stand on your feet. Quit ye like a man. I have called you. I have appeared to you for a reason. We read some of that in Titus a while ago. That you and me might be a purposeful people. May we say today, the Lord has appeared to every one of us. And He did it for a purpose. It wasn't to cast you down. It wasn't for you and me to be hopeless and purposeless, but He has appeared to us to give us a purpose in life, an eternal purpose, a fulfilled purpose, a purpose that is not beyond our ability through the grace of God given to accomplish that purpose. If you and me choose our purposes, we can be terribly disappointed. But you know, if we have heard and seen the Lord appear to us, And we have followed that to the very best. Maybe the songwriter said it as good as any. He'll understand and say, well done. What is better? You've been faithful in a little, and I want to give you some more. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Able to grow, able to take on Christian responsibility. Bearing the yoke in one's youth. Faithful in the little things. Not trying to get ahead of the cart. Not trying to get ahead of the horse, rather. Not trying to get ahead of the Lord. Not trying to be something I'm at 20 and I want to be like a 50-year-old. Nothing like that. Purposeful where God is calling you. Right there. Shining. Little children shine. Little children, one of these days, I love it over here at school. Some of them will stand up and say, Brother Stanley, we have a special. Totally unintimidated. God help us to be as little children. Some of us old folks need to go back and pick up the innocency of childhood. When I've got a song for the Lord, then sing it. Then sing it. God has called us to liberty. God has called us to freedom. I've got a purpose for you. Do you think the Lord called you and me to say, well, I've saved you now. You got it made. Lord, you want me to do anything? Oh, no, you're okay. Yes, I saved you. You're clean now. Go do what you want to. No, that's what He did. He gave gifts. Those gifts are part of our purpose. And Paul lists some of the gifts. I'm not sure that's all of them, but that's enough to start with. God wants us to have something working in us. And it's not altogether outward show. Please, I don't want you to even consider that. That's part of it, but it goes deeper than that. I have appeared unto thee for a purpose, to make you a servant. Minister, to make you a servant. That goes against people's grain sometimes. I'm going to call you, Paul, to wash the saints' feet when they misuse you. I'm going to call you, Paul, to go and be a servant to the people over in Macedonia, and they're going to do their best to kill you. I'm going to call you to that, Paul. I'm going to call you to be a servant to the Roman and to that centurion. Who's got you shackled? A servant. I called you, Paul, to be a minister. I want to say to every one of us, this word minister in the Greek is a servant, an underling. Is it literally what this word means? I've called you to be an underling. And how contrary that is to America. Did you know, and I love America. I don't want to live anywhere else. I'm not even planning on living anywhere else. I'm an American. You know the old song, my blood runs red, white, and blue. I'm an American, okay? But perception is important. The folks from Chile that were here recently, we met with them and socialized a little bit. You know their concept of America? No, you really don't want to know. It is terrible of the goes in their mind when America to them is synonymous with decadence, immorality, totally given over to ungodliness. And I believe them. I don't think they were trying to flatter us. They were amazed to find us. They said, you are a reservoir, a reserve left in America. That's what's being projected from our shores, folks. That's what's being told to the world we stand for. Brother Jim has taught us, why does the Muslims hate us so much? I know there's a lot of reasons. It's not Christianity in its pure form they hate. It's the decadence of professed Christianity. It is the backslidden, terrible country in a spiritual that we've become. God's called us for a purpose. And America, the world, has left that purpose. And what's happening to us? Are we better off because we have sexual liberty? Are we better off because of the abortions? Are we better off because of the diseases? Are we better off and happier? I don't think so. Are we pleasing God more? Certainly not. We've lost the purpose as a country, and if we ever had it per se. God help us that we realize we are called to be underlings. First under God and serving one another. Servants to men as Christ was a servant to man. He came and gave himself purposely for a purpose. I want to encourage every one of us today. God's called you for a purpose. Purposely give yourself to that purpose. And you'll find joys unspeakable and full of glory. He said to us, I've called you to be a minister. I've called you to one who aids another in any work. I've called you to be an aid, fellow worker with me, an assistant, and a preacher of the gospel. Then he went on, I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. Lord, help us. Our conversion should never be relegated to the closet. Our testimony of love to God in the workplace and in society and in the commerce of life should never be relegated to Sunday morning. It should be an everyday affair of what God did for me. You know what I'm looking for? It hasn't risen yet. Did you remember the little message Brother Marty preached about the people talking about the ball games and what this team did and what that? Did you hear about what OSU did or whatever, whoever's playing? Did you hear how Oklahoma almost won it and then they lost it and all this? And Brother Marty said, you know, I forgot exactly how he said it, but here's the way I took it. I just want to wait for a chance to say, man, a reason of the hope that lieth within us. And not be ashamed of it. Paul said, I am not ashamed of this gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is God's authority to man. So today, the purpose is to be a servant, to be a witness of what God has done in our life. Let others see Jesus. Go tell the story. Be faithful and true. Let others know what Christ has done. 17th verse, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. I believe it was Ezekiel went with an unpleasant message. So unpleasant, the Lord forewarned him ahead of time. By the way, Ezekiel, you go ahead and go, but they're not going to receive you. But you go anyway, your purpose is to go. If they don't receive you, they rejected me, Ezekiel. And they have not rejected you. Here's a challenge I personally face, and that's rejection. Rejection of the gospel story. I have to work and pray to overcome that. I don't know about you. But when I want and do visit and talk to someone, and you can tell, even sometimes by their words, there's a turnoff. I feel in my spirit, my flesh really, where it is, a hesitancy to go tell them again. But God wants us to tell them again. God wants us to rise above and have His purpose over our purpose. May the Lord help us in that. He said, I'm going to deliver you from the, I'm going to put my word here, the gainsayer. I'm going to deliver you from those who laugh at you or would mean you harm. And through your purpose, being my purpose, being fulfilled in your purpose, this gospel is going to go to all the world. I am going to see to it that the purpose is fulfilled in men and women who will. And by that, men will know you've been with me and there's a God in heaven. And you know what? This gospel has gone out. by faithful men who found the purpose, fulfilled the purpose in their life. And God delivered them. God kept them from the backbiter and the gainsayer and those who rebuked them and reviled them and put them in prison. And this message, praise the Lord for this message, to open the eyes and to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inherit among them an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I don't know of a better story you and I could deliver to mankind. Oh, you won the game after all. That's, you know, big deal. Not going to last very long. Those people that beat OU, was it Boise State? They're going to rejoice another week or two, maybe even a year. After a while, it's going to be what we call history. History. That's what it's going to become. It's going to be in the book somewhere. Oh, look at there. I didn't know that. You know, it's going to be history. But this that God has done for us has hope for the life that now is. Security, peace with God, all the things of the Godhead lavishly poured out on us, given to us freely, coming without price, bread, water aplenty, things that we could never have afforded of our own, translated out of that old kingdom of darkness and depths of despair and unbelief and cruelties and manipulations of the world into the glorious, lighted kingdom of God's dear Son. That's the part of the message. First of all, we've got to taste it. We've got to know it. It's got to be genuine in our hearts. Then our purpose is to go tell someone else. Tell them about how Jesus saves, and He keeps, and He restores, and He makes new, and He heals the soul, He heals the body, He heals homes, He heals minds, He makes things new. That's what our purpose is, folks. Every one of us has got the same purpose in that respect. The administrations vary, and they vary significantly sometimes. And I'm to support, and you're to support one another's administration. The administration comes from the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. And we are to be fellow laborers, joint heirs, every joint supply. And we need to recognize the Spirit working and God's truth. And they're not going, if I say the Spirit of God's working in me, He's not going to lead me to contradict the Word. And same way with you. If God is leading you to do something, chances are you've got liberty right then to do it. But if it violates the Word, then go back and say, no, wait a minute, who told me? Who gave me this? The administrations in the Church of God are cooperative. They're not this and that and that, but we come together under the Spirit of God for a purpose. And the purpose is not our own. It's God's purpose. Every joint supplying, every joint giving what it can. Today, let's be encouraged by what Jesus told Paul after He had struck him down, after He had come to that place of humiliation, came to that place of woe is me. After the He had kicked that last kick and he was bleeding from it. That prick went in him enough that, man, it almost got that artery. I'm bleeding to death. After he had resisted and he come to the place where I'm nothing. And the Lord began then to pour out on him. Who are you? I'm Jesus. What do you want with me? I've got a purpose for you. But I want you now, after this humiliation, I want you to rise up. Get on your feet, Paul, because I have appeared to you for a purpose. Saints, where is it in Hebrews where the Lord had talked about chastening the people? He said, wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down. And that can be literal. But I'm speaking of our spiritual man. Let's lift up our hands that's been hanging down. Has it been hanging down to the point that you're ineffective? You know, I was reading a story about a man who was paralyzed. Someone gave me a book here a good while back with little short stories in it about a man, football player, who was paralyzed from his neck down. And he had to learn to tell somebody to wipe his nose. Ask somebody, would you scratch behind my right ear? He was totally incapable. I want to go over there. Would you please take me over there? I want to turn over. Would you please turn me over? God wants us, with the infusion of His blood, His love, His Spirit, and His purpose, to lift up holy hands. Lift up hands that have hung down, maybe. I'm not saying us as a congregation necessarily, but us as an individual. But if it's happening in the individual, then it has a direct consequence on the body. Lift up holy hands. Those that have been hanging down. And those knees that quake from temptation. Those knees that have become feeble because of fear and doubts and places Satan has had control of, at least by his putting on you things that didn't belong to you. Little innuendos and things that are untruths that you have at least accepted to some degree. They weaken the knees. The writer said, strengthen the feeble knees. So the Lord help us today. Let's stand up and get on our feet for the Lord. It starts by getting down so we can get up. It's one thing for God to bring us down. You know why God brings us down? To bring us up. Satan or self gets us down to where he wants to keep us down. It's quite a bit of difference. God wants to bring us down so his purpose can be paramount and we sell all we have. Satan wants to bring us down to where we think we're already defeated. Songwriter we sang earlier today, sing of defeat, no, never. So may God help us. Jesus said to Paul, Paul, stand up. I've appeared to you for a purpose. One other thought and I'll be finished. Those around Paul most likely didn't hear what Paul heard. But Paul heard it. And that's where the message was intended. If God is speaking to us today, and He has spoken to you, or if He's spoken to me, that's the one He wanted to hear. He wanted you to hear it, is to strengthen those feeble knees, to heal and strengthen those arms that hang down. Lift them up. Stand on our feet. We've got a purpose. And let you and me find that purpose in God and then right onward pursue. Pray for me.